It says story about the Hadik Chazanesh that somebody once went up to him for Yeshua. I don't know if he had an ill person in the family or it was another Yeshua. I'm not sure what was needed in the family. And he came up to him and asked for the name. He asked him for the name of the person. And he left and he said, Can you please daven for that individual? And the Hadik Chazanesh then said, okay, I'll try my best. And many months later, they met again, and Chazanesh went up to him, and he said, no, what's happening with so-and-so, Ben so-and-so? And he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, much better, Baruch Hashem, much better. He says, why didn't you tell me? I'm still fasting every Thursday for that person. So, why didn't you tell me? So, it's quite amazing that, the reason why I'm saying it is because we're learning about Hilchas Tainus. Somebody's got Tainus Chaloim that he wants to fulfill on Shabbos. So it just reminded me that, yes, there are still people out there, this is not such a long time ago, who's fast attacker. It's not Tainus Chaloim, but similar to that. We're going to be learning more about the Tainusim on Shabbos. We're up to Simon Reish Peiches, up to page 130 in our editions. And we learned just the concept of to add a tannis if somebody did have to fast. So starting point is if somebody has a tannis, if somebody has a bad dream, we'll soon see exactly which dream. Somebody has got a bad dream, then and he wakes up and he wants to fast to be, because sometimes a tshuva and tefillah is not sufficient. He wants to actually fast to be kriyat gzar din. And if this takes place on Shabbos, so he's allowed to fast on Shabbos. Normally, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, but if somebody has got a bad dream, so tannis cholim is muta on Shabbos. But since a person is not really allowed to fast on Shabbos, so because of that, he has to afterwards fast, has a tshuva for fasting on Shabbos. So fast for fasting on Shabbos. So let us see what the Ramah says in Tziv Dalet. I'm just going to zoom through the beginning, actually, from the Shulchan Aruch, and then go right into the Ramah, that's what we're holding. Mutal is anos betanas chaloim. Person is allowed to fast the tanas chaloim on Shabbos. Kedei shikro gzadin, in order to tear off the bad gzadin. But you have to then fast on Sunday, kedei, in order she's chapaloi, that you should have a kapor, an atonement, mashe bittel oinik Shabbos for not enjoying Shabbos. You need an atonement for that. The atonement for not enjoying Shabbos is to fast on Sunday. So if you fast on Sunday, he's going to have to fast on. If he fasted on Shabbos, he's going to have to fast on Sunday too. Vim toshash koicha, if he's unable, if he's got no koyach, vein yochol isana shnei yom ritzu, if he's unable to fast 2 days, one after the other, lo isana biyom rishon, to not fast on Sunday, v'isana achakach, but fast on the following day sometime later on. But you have to fast a second time, because you did fast on Shabbos. V'kol shken in simdali, mo yom biyom rishon chanukah, if Sunday was Chanukah, don't fast on Sunday. If Sunday was Rosh Chodesh, don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. If Sunday was Purim, don't fast on Purim. If Sunday was Yom Tov, don't fast on Sunday Yom Tov. Hafil Yom Tov Shel Goldies, even if Sunday was second day Yom Tov, you may not fast. Shein Lisanois had Achakach, you do not fast on Sunday, you're going to have to push it off a little bit late. Interesting, Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Yudalef tells us, V'tzorech b'chol zeh l'hakdim kol ma she'ochel, if you are going to fast because you fasted on Shabbos, you have to fast a second time, don't delay it. So if you can't fast on Sunday, for whatever the reason may be, wait a bit, but do it as early as you can. Yeah.
Are these fasts 24-hour fasts?
No. Yes. Also. Yes, correct. If same halacha than Yom Tov, we do not fast on Sunday. Morning till evening. Yep.
Nope.
Once is enough. Truth is that the person can even discuss if he's got two bad dreams on two different Shabbos or two Shabboses. Interestingly, for some reason, one fast for both will be sufficient, which is very interesting. I saw the person speaking about it. Okay, somebody slept on Shabbos afternoon. I don't know if anybody does. So some people, I don't know if anybody, you know about it, fasting? Sleeping on, pardon?
Kids are older.
Kids are older, okay. So some people apparently do sleep on Shabbos afternoon. So the Gemara is in Mefurish Rambot that some people do sleep on Shabbos afternoon. So Mish Yoshin Shnas Tzoraim, somebody slept on Shabbos afternoon. V'cholayim lo yichalom ra, and he had a bad dream. Now again, this is a dream which is not stam a bad dream that was because the cholent was a bit, It was a bad dream, a proper bad dream. That's a fascinating concept. So if a person really had a bad dream on when he was sleeping on Shabbos afternoon, and he feels like he needs to fast about it, because to be kriyat gzadin, yes, he may start a fast now. Shabbos afternoon he may start a fast, and he should fast now for 12 hours. And when it's a half day fast, which is a very interesting concept we do not find, I believe. I don't think we find anywhere else. You can now start the fast. Normally we don't fast half day, but here you can fast from when you wake up from that dream, and you can fast now for half a day until into the night, until midnight. And then you should do Havdalah. You should do Havdalah then, you can still do Havdalah. You can do Havdalah till Tuesday. So there's no problem to do Havdalah in the middle of the night. Because you have to do B'yom Rishon, but what happens on Sunday? B'yom Rishon yisane kilu yisane al yom HaShabbos. But you still need to fast on Sunday again. Why do you need to fast on Sunday? Yes, you need to fast on Sunday. Very interesting. The answer to that question is, because Lemaise, you had a chet that you were not me'anek, you know, mis'anek ala Shabbos. You didn't enjoy properly the Shabbos. What happened to your Shalashudas? What happened to your Shabbos afternoon? You didn't enjoy properly. And that itself is sufficient reason to need an atonement, and you're going to have to fast on Sunday for that. Shabbos needs to be called kulo ila, for you have to be anek is a Shabbos. You're going to do Havdalah at midnight, and you're going to eat something then.
Well, at midnight you're allowed to eat?
Yes. If you haven't slept, the answer is yes. Give me up the Kabbalah. And we have Rishni is anekilu is anel yom Shabbos, and then you should fast on Sunday, which is interesting. That means we're not doing tit for tat. If you fasted so and so many hours, you have to do an atonement of so and so many hours on Shabbos. No, no, no. Since you didn't have a full benefit on Shabbos, you didn't have a proper oynik Shabbos throughout the Shabbos, you missed half the Shabbos. Because of that, you're going to have to fast the whole Sunday. Fascinating, yes.
Can I just clarify the question? And then, are you allowed to eat at midnight? What would be the
That you can't, because the Mishnah Berurah brings earlier, Al Pi Kabbalah one shouldn't eat once when I slept. It's the Al Pi Kabbalah. Mishnah Berurah brings it earlier. It's not halacha, it's Kabbalah.
So what about the whole thing about making it tonight, that you can eat before a tarnis, which starts in the
morning? Yeah, this is, you're right, Al Pi Kabbalah one shouldn't do that. Al Pi Kabbalah you shouldn't. But I shouldn't even be saying it, just Mishnah Berurah said it. So Mishnah Berurah brings, in one place, it brings Al Pi Kabbalah, once you have slept, you shouldn't. You shouldn't until you have davened, you shouldn't. You're right, Al-Pi Halacha, there's no issue. Correct. Absolutely correct. Sif Hey, Yesh Oimrim. We're now moving on. This is a fascinating Shulchan Aruch. Yesh Oim Shein Nisanes Tanes Chaloyim B'Shabbos. Okay. Now, Shulchan Aruch says, you know, it's really a problem to fast on Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch tells us. It's really a problem. You really, really shouldn't fast on Shabbos. It's really wrong. Okay, even Tanes Chaloyim is really wrong. So, Shulchan Aruch says, you know, Shulchan Aruch says, there are some dreams which are worse than others. Chazal do teach us that there are some dreams which those are really, really pretty bad. Watch out for those dreams. If a person has those dreams, and then it's pretty serious. And a person, only for those dreams specifically, Shulchan Aruch says, if those dreams are on Shabbos, okay, I hear. That, then you should maybe fast, if you wish. But otherwise, if you've got any other dreams that you're scared about, don't bother on Shabbos. Don't bother fasting on Shabbos. And ve'elu hein, these are the dreams. First of all, it needs to be a dream that you saw three times. If you don't see the dream three times, don't worry about it. Relax. Turn to the other side of the bed. Turn to the other side. Relax and enjoy your meal later. No. It would be three times in one night. No. Yeah. And the other opinion says, forget, you know what? Nowadays, any Sanatanat Chalom Shabbos, there's no need at all to fast Sanatanat Chalom Shabbos. Says, nowadays, there is so much reason, we don't exactly know which ones are the good dreams or the bad dreams. They are so hard to identify and to precisely define which ones are the good dreams, which ones are not so good dreams. So he says, the Nadu Shulchan Aruch says, okay, you know, it's taka hard. But the Olam Omrim, and the Olam says, people say, Shenem Tzadis Forum Katvonim, the earlier sources do say the following, Shloshah Chalomis Misanim B'Shabbos, there's three specific dreams, and for those three dreams, you should fast on Shabbos. The Eilu Henin, these are the dreams. First one, Haroye Sefer Torah Shenis, if a person Cholila sees a Sefer Torah which burns, as every time which burns, that's the dream that he sees, that's bad news. And the Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't have to be only a Sefer Torah. In Sefkot Tizani tells us, who adin tefillin sheish man parsha sheba Torah. He could be partial if you see tefillin cholila burning, and then again, that's one of the three dreams that are very bad. Tefillin burning, Sefer Torah burning, that's quite bad. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, if he fell off the hand, that wouldn't be considered one of the bad dreams. If a person dreams that tefillin fell off his hand, or even a Sefer Torah fell off his hand, that doesn't require Tanas Chaloim. Second one, Oyem HaKippurim Shas Ne'ila, if a person dreams of Yom Kippur Shas Ne'ila. If you're dreaming about Ne'ila, then Yom Kippur on Ne'ila, that's also one of those dreams that, okay, I hear, you need to fast. Or, Oikoros Beisoy Oishinov Shinoflu. Koros Beis, you see the walls collapsing of your house. Person sees his house, his walls collapsing. Okay, watch out. Oishinov Shinoflu, his teeth falling out. Teeth falling out. V'yesh, but teeth falling out. Teeth falling out, that's also bad. Some extend that. It doesn't only have to be dreaming of Ne'ila Mamash, it could also be any Yom Kippur. Somebody dreams of Yom Kippur, and that requires not just Ne'ila, according to his opinion. He extends, not just Ne'ila, but extends the whole of Yom Kippur, requires fasting. Some say that if you see also leaning, Koyre Batoyre, or Koyre Batoyre, reading from the Torah, leaning from the Torah, that requires fasting. If somebody actually sees that he's marrying a woman, that's also no good. If you see a chasen, or you see your own chasen, or something bizarre like that, you should also fast. That we said, that a person who sees his teeth falling out, you should fast. Dafke shinov, that is dafke specifically teeth. But if he sees his cheeks dislocating, the cheek dislocating, then that's chalom tov, that's a good dream. These are because that represents the people who are advising bad. Cheek represents the people who are advising bad, and they are disintegrating. So all of which is interesting is that we see that how specific it is. Teeth is a bad dream. Cheek is a very positive dream. So he said it to be very, very specific what the Sifrei Kadmonim says. Don't like extend it and don't like over interpret it. Specifically the way it is, that's the bad dream. But if it's slightly different, then do not worry about it. According to some opinion, yes. According to other opinion, no. Some say that there's other bad dreams which are quoted in the Perek Haroya, and said they're also considered bad, and some say you should fast for those as well. So we've got various opinions, what is a good dream, which dreams we need to fast on. Just very importantly, I need to mention what the Mishnah Berurah Sefkot Tzvov tells us, that this is only talking about it to a person who is worried about it. So say if a person sees one of those really bad dreams, teeth falling out, or he sees the walls collapsing, or he sees something like that, and it's clear, it's mamash a clear dream, and then he wakes up, v'hinei chaloi, Paro it says, v'hinei chaloi, v'ikatz paroi, v'hinei chaloi, it was so clear, the pasuk says, v'hinei chaloi, because he looks like, he looked so alive, the Malvim says, that he needed to make sure that it was actually a dream. He felt so real. So he also, if he's mamash, you feel the dream, his mamash real. And suddenly you wake up. But what if you don't care about it? What if you genuinely don't care? You know, that's what Chazal tell us. That's a bad dream. And you saw it very, very crystal clear. But you don't care. You prefer to go happily to Kiddush. You want to enjoy your cholent. You prefer to go and relax. You don't care about it. Do you need to fast? Yes or no? You're relaxed about it. Probably not what? You don't need to fast. Says the Mishnah Berurah, indeed. La fukim o'odom, in Sefkot Tzvov, it tells us, la fukim o'odom, deloy kopit becholoim ra, said if you don't care about the bad dream, oy shatanis kosholov mitzvah yoyse betaniso mash mitzvah pachad achalom also the same mishab. If you, Mishnah tells us two things: if a person doesn't care, relax, don't fast. You don't need to fast. If you don't care, you don't need to fast. It's only if you're worried about it. If you're not worried about it, you don't need to fast. Point number one. Point number two, Mishnah is telling us over here: what if you do care a little bit, but you care more for your challenge than for the dream? You're more into your challenge. You're more into the challenge than into the dream. So you're a bit worried about it, okay, to some extent, but you just can't. I'm going to fast on the whole day about this. Come on. You know, you're a bit worried about it, you hear, but you're not so bothered about it. You prefer to mevata on the dream than to mevata on your meal. So what happens then? So here the Mishnah, you hear that kind of person? Yeah, you're a bit bothered about it, but you prefer to. So the Mishnah here tells us, very interesting, that if you're more worried about your challenge than about your dream, you don't have to fast. No, the former point I made is not only on Shabbos. If a person does not mandalay kapit, this person does not care about the bad dream, he doesn't have to fast even on a Tuesday.
And the second point?
The second point is probably only relevant on Shabbos. Well, the truth is, it's also relevant on other days. The answer is, he doesn't have to fast. He doesn't have to fast. And I want to just mention here what I mentioned the other day. The Chazon Ish and the Igros writes a few times. And nowadays, anyway, there's room for leniency with regards to dreams. Because people have got our moichas, we're just so busy thinking about so many things. Yes, so that's what people will do. Yeah. So there is a concept of the, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, you could. The answer is yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
In a safer by what's happened to a person.
Yes.
So, for example, after the terrible events of Kristallnacht, where synagogues were destroyed, Sifrei Torah were burnt or torn or everything, it might not, I suggest, necessarily mean that a person has to have a tarnis, because he might automatically dream.
Indeed.
Because of the terrible events.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. If the dream can be easily associated with an event that took place, then indeed, one doesn't fast. This is correct. Shulchan Aruch Seif Vav. We continue. Hamisane b'Shabbos Omer Aneinu. If a person does fast on Shabbos, he will say the Aneinu that is printed in the Sidurim. Yeah, every Shachis has got Aneinu in the Seder. So a person who fasts on Shabbos, he should say Aneinu. Although it's true that normally we don't say Aneinu on Shabbos, obviously. But if a person does fast on Shabbos, he's going to say Aneinu. Ha'chasim tfilosa at the end of davening. B'loi chasim without the ending. V'koydeloi b'elikai netzor. And he does say it at the end in the elikai netzor. As opposed to earlier in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we'll say it in elikai netzor. V'yemachat tfilosa ribayno ilomim goloi k'moi b'chol. Yeah, and you will also say the Ribon Olamim Golov Yodua Lifnei Kisek Vaydecho, that we say on weekdays. There's a special tefillah that person says when he fasts, and that is what he's going to say also. He should say it on Shabbos as well. There's no problem with that. He can say that Ribon Olamim in Elikai Netzor, he should say that as well. Siv Zayin. Himikdim Olecho Lu'oine. Ah, right. We've finished talking now about fasting. In our fasting, we move on to the next topic, which is as follows. Imakdim Olecho Lu'oine Gloi. What is the right timing for the Shabbos Suda? What time is right to eat? Shabbos day. What is the correct timing? Shulchan Aruch gives us over here guidance. No. Shulchan Aruch says, Imakdim Olecho Lu'oine Gloi. He says that if it is the earlier timing, which is for him a pleasure, to time it slightly earlier than you'd normally have lunch, such as you already digested the Friday night meal, yakdim, then make it early on Shabbos day. You're hungry, okay, so make the Shabbos food earlier. And if on the contrary, if you eat too early, you don't have appetite, and it's better, you have more pleasure in eating slightly later than normally. Such as it hasn't been digested, you're not hungry yet. Then delay it. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says.
What would this people do? It seems rather, you eat lunch, you eat lunch.
Yeah, okay, so you say, more with, so people who are more concerned about the time than about. Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you eat your lunch?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that. Yeah. Okay, maybe I've got shtickle an answer. That you could have. I hear you. It's a good point. Noted. But I think that the answer is that you would have assumed maybe that it's specific times, like it has to be. It has to be before Chatzos. It has to be before Shua Asiris. It has to be like in line with the Korban Musaf. It has to be in line with Baboike. Or he has to be in line with something. So we're saying, no. Don't worry about any of that. He has to be just in line with your appetite. It's toil in the Hilchas Oynek Shabbos as opposed to anything else. No, so we could even be after Chatzos. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be saying that. Yeah, as long as you haven't fasted. So that the truth is that we learned earlier you mustn't fast. Yeah. So if you haven't eaten at all, then you have good halacha that you mustn't fast till chatzos. Yeah. If a person eats like every day, like on Shabbos, so maybe that's also an answer to you, Mr. Vanner. Maybe that's a slight answer that he says that you should time it differently than a weekday. Just don't, if you always, on weekday have a certain time, so try on Shabbos to have a different time, either a bit earlier or a bit later. Maybe that's a slight answer for your question as well. Sif Ches, Ein Mis'ani al Shum Tzor Me'atzoros Klal. This is referring to, there is Mishnayis, and a Shulchan Aruch elsewhere. In Hilchos Tainis, it tells us there's some fasts, some reasons why there's public fasts. Public reasons why, when there's some danger, something. So that generally speaking, when there's a public Tainis, which is established, for tzoros and tragedies, cholile, which perform klal Yisrael, don't make them on Shabbos. No public tainus on Shabbos. Hein misal shum tzorim atzoros klal. Tziv tes. Ein tzorakin v'loy masrin boy al shum tzoro. We will not cry out, nor make a public gathering of tzorakin masrin. Al shum tzora, you don't make a public gathering, public davening for tzoras, chutz, excluding mitzoras, amezoinois, when there is no fruit, cholile, then you can make a public gathering on Shabbos. Shetzurakim aleh befer b'Shabbos aloh b'shoifa. If people are gathering and davening with their mouths, and not blowing the shoifer, but if people are gathering together and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because there's a lack of food, chalila, that may be done on Shabbos. V'chein and similarly, hishikufu anosin, if there's a tremendous danger from dangerous people, anosin, dangerous people who are about to hurt, damage, and kill, chalila, Yidden, and on danger on Yiddish Neshamas. Ho no, there's a river that suddenly is spreading, and there's a danger of the river flooding over. If you're in a boat which is now endangered of over a boat which is, thank you very much, capsizing, then afilo al yochid and goim, who similarly also, that's also an exception, you may daven on Shabbos, yochid and goim, if there's an individual which is being chased, one individual being chased by the, by goim, or listim, or a person who is being chased by listim, by robbers, who are trying to get hold of him, a bad spirit, which is Mishnah Berurah expensive cotton chav zayin, ruach ra shenichmas beruach shade. A shade cholila came into a person. We all heard stories. I don't think this has happened recently, but as close by as the Alik Chofetz Chaim, there's a famous story of the Dibbuk, which was Chofetz Chaim's time, so that's like close to 100 years ago. I think it's pretty much the last one that we have. Have you heard of a Dibbuk later than that? Chofetz Chaim is probably the last. Pardon? I don't remember that. Yeah, there was one. Okay, fine. So maybe this. So okay, if there is that kind of shade which is a ruach ro in a person, zoyakinu is chanan betfilas b'shabbes. Avol in toikin, yes, then public tfilos and public gathering are permitted on Shabbos for those exceptions. Again, the exceptions are lack of food, dangerous people, boat. If you are in a boat. A person being chased by goyim or thieves or shade. Then these are permitted. I just seem to remember that I think I saw in the, I just paged through the Igros of Reb Chaim Oizer, It's a fascinating reading, and I seem to remember that when the war broke out, they did make Tanesim on Shabbos. When the second war, when the war broke out, I think they did make Tanesim on Shabbos. That's very much in line with what we are saying over here. Now, what about if a lady's in birth, have difficult birth, dangerous, difficult birth? What would you say? So Mishibur says first white line that that would be permitted as well. Yeah, it seems it's a corner and that's first mutter as well. Right, and Sif Yud tells us nirdof mipnei ruach cho shom ulav dafke. A near the person being chased by ruach cho is this person who is being mipnei ruach cho. Somebody's got a ruach cho in it. I can't explain it much better. How would you dangerous a spirit of? I don't know how you mipnei ruach cho. Okay, I'm not sure how to exactly translate it. Nirdof mipnei ruach cho shom ulav dafke. Who are dinne kol chole sheish pesakon? Anybody's got a danger, a very very serious danger. Zerkinu mischananim. Anybody's got chole sheish pesakona. Zerkinu mischananim. Any chole sheish pesakona. You may do public davening on Shabbos for chole sheish pesakona. For chenua guloima metzalin be Shabbos al chole misukene hamisukonim sakon zayoyim. So these are tefillas, specific tefillas, metzalin, specific tefillas, which are said for chole sheish pesakona are permitted to be recited on Shabbos. A person is allowed to make a mishaberach on Shabbos for dangerously ill person. That's not a contradiction to Shabbos. Mishaberach for cholish is permitted on Shabbos. Now I just want to point out of here interesting and a very interesting behetev. I think it's very interesting. What about a newborn? What about a newborn baby? I don't know, it's interesting. So if there's a birth on Shabbos, a newborn baby on Shabbos, he had to make a mishaberach for a newborn baby on Shabbos. Yeah, we do, right? Why? It's a corner. So I would have thought, mamash like you, that a newborn baby is very vulnerable, tiny newborn baby is extremely vulnerable. He had to mishaberach like the Shulchan Aruch says. Pardon? What's a sad not to? No, I agree. I just want to understand why, yes. So we are saying because the baby is Mishaberach. No, why is it? Because you're not allowed to daven on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us over here that Mis'anin and Mis'chanin, Tzoyakin on Shabbos is also. To cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos is the wrong time. To eat on Friday, do it on Sunday. So that's the starting point. But you're saying that obviously a baby is sakona, a newborn baby is sakona, so you should be allowed to. Yeah, so I'm talking about mishaberach, which is the refuah. Mishaberach, which is dafke for...
I'm saying, if it's for refuah, then for a sick person's stomach can anyway.
So good, okay, that's where we are. That's exactly where we are. So you're saying if there's sakona, you're allowed to. Okay, so you're saying, Rabbi Kagan says, and that's maybe poshet, that's the Moshe said as well, mishaberach for a tiny newborn, he's permitted because he is... But he's still in the... He's very vulnerable, and that's why he's considered sakona. It is sakona. It is sakona that. Every newborn has an element of sakona. But I want to just point out to you a very interesting behetev, which interesting behetev on the second line of here, Sifkot Yud Gimel. Mishabur does say that it's because of sakona, but a behetev on the side brings in the name of the Mariu. He says, a newborn baby is a tzaddik. Beautiful svara. I mean, Mishavu doesn't bring this down. He brings that a baby is a tzaddik, a newborn baby is a tzaddik, and maybe in his chos, he's going to turn the world into a kaf schos. Tiny baby is a tzaddik. I never knew that, tiny newborn is a tzaddik. Why is he doing good already? What's a newborn? But it looks like, pardon? That's what we learned from this Mari. That's right. So, I remember, I was finished off with that. I remember I asked once about Aya Finkel, I was a bocher. And I don't know why I asked this question, but the answer was very nice. When you have a little child, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, or a little child, and you say tzaddikal to the child. Tzaddikal. So it's chayga not true, he's not a tzaddik. A tzaddik, you know, a person strives for 70, 80 years. He strives for tzidkas, for yashamayim, about Hashem. He reaches to be a stage of a tzaddik. But a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, call him tzaddikal. He's not a tzaddik. He's not a small tzaddik, it's untrue. So he told me it's untrue. You're 100% wrong, he told me. Of Ayin Finkel. Remember, I asked him about Ayin Finkel. He said it's not true because a child, he's going to chet be'etzem. He's going to chet be'etzem. And therefore, his taka is considered a tzaddik. We only mess it up later. We mess it up when we are when bar mitzvah, when we are older, when we are adults. We mess it up later. But be'etzem, and that's what he's saying of his mamash. So I thought it was just a kind of simple. It's mamash lalocha. Petev says that a tiny baby is considered a tzaddik. Fine, we should all be zoichet to get back into the stages of being babies. Fine.